Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. Dr. David Bernstein, the Dean of Pardes, will be speaking next week in New York City. His presentation is entitled, On the 70th Anniversary of Kristallnacht, A Tale of Two Communities, German and American Jewry, 1938. His talk will be at Congregation Ramach Orah, which is at 550 West 110th Street in Manhattan. And again, that's Monday, November 10th at 8 p.m. I hope that you can make it. This week on the podcast, Rabbi David Levenkreuz will discuss Parshat Lech Lecha. Rabbi Levenkreuz has provided a handout for the talk. I'm sending it as the next file on the podcast channel. So print it out and follow along with Rabbi Levenkreuz, who is a senior faculty member of Pardes and also serves as the Pardes Director of Special Projects. And now, Rabbi David Levenkreuz.
Thank you, Larry. I actually haven't done a podcast in a while, and it's fun to be back. Even though I don't know many of the people who are listening, I get comments, people write in, I hear what people have to say, and it feels almost as if there's a virtual audience out there that I know. And I'm happy to be with you again. I hope that everybody had good Chagim, and I wish you all a Shana Tova. What does it mean to be the father of somebody famous? We know that very, very often famous people have their biographies picked up and looked at by the public, certainly in the election that is going on in America as I make this podcast. Obama's past and his parents and his grandparents have been under great scrutiny. But what does it mean to be the father, or what does it mean to be the parent of somebody great? Are you looked at as somebody evil who your children happened to be able to overcome? Or are you looked at somebody who is the progenitor of greatness? And we know that people love to read books about it. Mommy Dearests, as they're called, are very, very popular, in which some famous person pulls out some deep, dark secrets about their past. This is certainly the case of Terach, the father of Abraham. We'll know that in traditional sources, many of us may know, that Terach is seen as evil. He was an idol maker. He was somebody who Abraham was, through his absolute brilliance and his sensitivity, was able to overcome his past. But what I'd like to do today, and I think this is fascinating, what I'd like to do today is look at some contradictions that we have in verses in the Torah, and use this contradiction and the way that us, using our own intelligence, scholars of the ancient Near East, as well as the medieval commentators, using the different methods that these three people have used, I'd like to try and understand a little bit about the complexity of Terach and present a different view of who Terach may have been. The classic example of how Terach is seen in the first source on your source sheet in Yoshua. Be'ever nahar yashvu avotechem me'olam, Terach avi Avraham v'avi Nachor, v'yavdu Elohim achirim. In olden times, your forefathers, Terach, father of Abraham and father of Nachor, lived beyond the Euphrates and worshipped many gods. The classic idea of Terach as being an idol worshipper and as somebody who lived beyond the Euphrates. Now, at the end of last week's parasha, Noach, we read, Vayikach Terach et Avram b'no, Terach took his son Abraham, ve'et Lot ben Haran ben b'no, and Lot, ve'et Sarai kalato, his daughter-in-law Sarai, eshet Avraham b'no, ve'yatzu itam mi'ur kasdim, and he left Ur kasdim, lalechet Arzaknan, to go towards Canaan. Why is he going to Canaan? What's going on over there? Why should he leave his home? V'yavu ad Haran v'yeshvu sham. And they came until a place called Haran and settled there. Okay, so far no problems. We wonder why he was suddenly decided to move to Canaan and why he stopped in Ur Kasdim. But nevertheless, there's not an inherent text problem. This problem comes a little later in the beginning of this week's parasha when we read the famous words, Vayomer Adonai el Avram, God says to Avram, Lech lecha me'artzecha u'moladetcha, Umibeit avicha ela aretz asher areka. Go from your land, from your birthplace and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Now we really have a problem, which is that in the previous parasha, we learned that Abraham had already left his home on his way to Canaan, whereas here in Bereishit, here in the parasha of Lech Lecha, Abraham is told to leave his birthplace. What is going on over here? How could he have already left his birthplace and now being asked to leave his birthplace again? Source critics, Bible critics, see this as being two different sources of the Torah. The one in last week's parasha is seen as part of the priestly source, and this one is seen as part of the J source, where God is referred to as Adonai. And I guess some of the Bible critics probably think that the person who put the Torah together was being a little sloppy in what they were doing. Whether one believes in Bible criticism or whether one accepts the classic idea of the Torah being a unitary work and coming from God, I would like to prove to you today, or prove to us today, that there is indeed great meaning in leaving this fuzzy, leaving these two ideas. And basically, the question we need to ask is, why would Terach leave Ur Kasdim? There are many reasons he may want to leave Ur Kasdim and go to Canaan, and there are many reasons that he might stay in Ur Kasdim. Ur Kasdim was a highway or a crossroads, which was a very, very important caravan route. It was commercially a very, very good place, and at round about the time that the story took place, there was a great influx of population for trade or for religion. And as often happens when there's lots of money, there's also lots of religion. In this case, it was the center of cult to the moon god Sin. So Terach could have been on his way to Canaan, but he could have stopped in Ur Kasdim because the attraction of the idolatry and of the money was too strong. But why did he want to go to Canaan at all? What's with Canaan? Perhaps Terach sensed what the Sforno says in the text in front of you. Shehaita muchenet, ignore the Hebrew quote. The Sforno says, this land was predisposed to bring about intellectual elevation and was more desirable than all other lands. Perhaps it is that Terach sensed something. And why might he sense something? Why might he want to go somewhere else? As part of the narrative about them leaving, it's mentioned that Sarai was barren, that Sarai had no children. And if we look at some of the other people in the group, they're also people who've experienced some sense of loss. Perhaps there was a sense of Mishane Makom, Mishane Mazal. One who changes their place, changes their luck. Perhaps many, many bad things had happened. And as I said, the psuk, this is not merely speculative. Psukim bear this out, the psukim we've just read. And they thought perhaps, let's go to a place which has got intimations of holiness and see if maybe our luck will change. In this way, Terach in some way is greater than Avram, because what Avram has to do on his own, what Avram has to be commanded to do, Terach has to do or is able to do on his own. And why did he stop? He stopped perhaps because of the attractions. And therefore we have a very, very different view of Terach. Terach is somebody who started Avram on his way, and rather than somebody who was evil. It's very, very interesting when one thinks about it that Terach didn't make it to the promised land, but another great Jewish leader, Moshe Rabbeinu, also didn't make it to the promised land. We can see Terach as somebody who got stuck on the way, but we can also see Terach as part of a great tradition of people in the world who have ideals, who aim to get somewhere, but don't always make it, whether it be because of a personal flaw in what we've suggested about Terach, or whether it be because of circumstances like Moshe. There are other ideas that are suggested by the tradition. One tradition suggests that Abraham was actually born in Haran, that they moved to Ur Kasdim temporarily, and in fact came back to Haran, and that is where Avram left from. And another idea, which I think gives a different view of Terach, is that Avram got the command when he was in Ur Kasdim, and the Radak says that he was able to convince his father to move, and they therefore then moved, and the natural route would be the trade route. They therefore moved to Canaan, but were waylaid on the way. Regardless of which theory you want to take, whether it be that Avram was really born in Haran and was in Ur Kasdim temporarily, whether one takes the idea that Terach moved there for his own reasons to do with trade or idolatry, or whether one takes the idea that Terach himself intuited that this was a place for his family to go in order to change their luck, regardless, I think we get a much, much more nuanced view of Terach and a much greater understanding of this person as somebody who in his own way helped Abram to get on his way. The truth of the matter is, even if he is an idolater, as it says in Yehoshua, even if he's an idol maker, as it says in the Midrashim, this is still an act towards God. It may be towards the wrong God, it may be toward gods, but regardless, it is in a certain direction. I think it behooves us in a world where so often it is so popular to complain about one's parents, to think of one's parents as bad, where this is almost, you know, part of who many people are. I think it's very powerful to remember that regardless of what way one may think of one's parents, very, very often, in some strange way, they are responsible for the good that we may do in this world. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Levenkreuz. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.